Today we continue browsing through Israel's songbook, the book of Psalms. And so this morning, let's turn to Psalm 103. You'll find that on page 428 of the Church Bible. Psalm 103, page 428. The Holy Spirit has exhaled Psalm 103 through King David. Many scholars think that David wrote Psalm 103 after repenting from his adultery with Bathsheba. And if these scholars are right, if David did indeed write Psalm 103 after repenting from his adultery, then Psalm 103 is David's praise for forgiveness received. With that in mind, let's prepare our hearts for the ministry of God's Word this morning. Lord, we do thank you for a grace that is greater than all our sin. Thank you that where sin abounds, grace abounds more. Give us, Lord, an awareness and a gratitude of the magnitude of your grace of forgiveness today. In Christ's name, amen. Read something interesting the other day. The average age of the entering seminary student is increasing because more and more people are entering pastoral ministry as a second career. So I got to thinking, what if pastoral ministry were my second career? What if, for example, I'd become a pastor after a career in, say, advertising? Well, my sermons might sound something like this. Are you soft-soaping God with about your sin? Do you drift along with the tide? Well, you can cheer up and have real joy. The dove of peace is sending an SOS to all. Don't wait for us to dial you up to remind you of those ivory palaces up yonder. So pull yourself out of bed, dress up spick and span, and fly like a comet to God's house. You will feel as fantastic as an Irish spring and have new zest. You too can be Mr. Clean or Ms. Clean. Amen? Aren't we blessed that I didn't have a career in advertising before I got here? We need more than detergents, don't we? We need more than detergents. The kind of filth that has soiled our souls demands a miracle cleanser that Madison Avenue does not have. And Psalm 103 introduces us to that miracle cleanser. It's the miracle cleanser of God's forgiveness. Psalm 103 is a song of praise to the Lord for his many benefits to us. And while Psalm 103 praises the Lord for all his benefits, the psalm praises the Lord specifically for one of those benefits. It's the benefit of forgiveness. So let's begin broad and then narrow down to that one benefit of forgiveness. We begin by arousing ourselves to praise the Lord. David begins by arousing himself to praise the Lord. Verse 1 of the psalm. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Why praise the Lord? What is there to praise him about? All his benefits. Verse 2. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So verses 1 and 2 together are telling us this. All my inmost being praise the Lord for all his benefits. Let our praise be as total as God's blessings to us. Let's praise him from all our inmost being in response to all his benefits. Well, David then recounts the benefits for which we can praise the Lord, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. So many benefits from which to praise the Lord. Now, we all have our problems, don't we? David had his problems. Sometimes problems drag us down. Did you come in here this morning feeling dragged down by some problem? Something that you have to face tomorrow? How can our spirits be lifted when our problems drag us down? What can we do when problems perplex, struggles surmount, trials tear down, confusions compound, and dilemmas debilitate? We need to get our eyes off the problem and on to the Lord. And forget not all his benefits. And then we arouse ourselves to praise him. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all his benefits. Now, the Lord's benefits are a field of diamonds sparkling in the light of God's sun, S-O-N. And each benefit is a different diamond scintillating in the field of God's love. And as David surveys this field of diamonds of all of God's benefits for which he arouses himself to praise, one diamond sparkles. One diamond gleams. One diamond stands out with a special brilliance. So David darts to this diamond and he picks it up off the field. He turns it over in his hand. It's the diamond of God's forgiveness. And so we read, praise the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Ah, there it is. The chief benefit for which I'm praising God right now. Because I know I've sinned. I went to a woman who was not my wife, says David. And I know what God has done for me. He's forgiven my sin. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins. Now, each facet of the diamond of God's forgiveness sparkles with a light that both calms our souls and excites our spirits. And so let's gaze and praise on the Lord's forgiveness as we praise him for all his benefits. And there are so many, countless. Let's bring our attention now to that diamond of his forgiveness. Let's turn that diamond around in the hand of our imagination as the light of God's sun, S-O-N, shines, and gaze in praise on God's forgiveness. In verses 7 through 18, David brings to our attention so many facets of the diamonds of God's forgiveness that sparkle. He begins in verse 7. He says, he's made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. Well, what ways has he made known? What deeds has he revealed? It's all the deeds of the facets of God's forgiveness in that one diamond. Oh, there are so many facets in the diamond of God's forgiveness. For one, the Lord is slow to anger. Verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. And in his abounding compassion, in his amazing grace, God has a long fuse, slow to anger. Another facet of the diamond of God's forgiveness. The Lord doesn't hold grudges. Verse 9. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He doesn't shake his finger at us and say, look at what you did 5 years ago. God doesn't hold grudges. If you did something wrong from which you've repented, but you're still kicking yourself for it, stop kicking yourself for it. God's gotten rid of it. Repent of the sin, ask God to forgive you, and it's gone. He does not harbor his anger forever. He doesn't hold grudges. Another facet of the diamond of God's forgiveness. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Verse 10. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquity. You know, we're like the speeder who gets pulled over but doesn't get the ticket. The Lord does not treat us as our sins deserve. His Holy Spirit woos us to repent, and he may have to discipline us so that we repent, but when we repent, he does not treat us as our sins deserve. He treats us with grace and mercy. And then there's this next facet of the diamond of God's forgiveness. It's my personal favorite. I love them all, but this one's my favorite of them all. The Lord removes our sins far from us. Verses 11 and 12. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Now, how far is the east from the west? Well, in the eastern sky is the star Spica. It's 1,525 trillion miles from Earth. And in the western sky, there is the galaxy Andromeda. This galaxy is 15 billion miles from Earth, and it's in the western sky. So how far is east from west? How far is Spica from Andromeda? 1,525 trillion miles plus 15 billion miles. That's how far east is from west. That's how far God has removed our sins from us. Someone say hallelujah. 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 God has removed our sins so far from us that they are 1,525 trillion miles plus 15 billion miles away. Amen. Amen. But wait a minute. does not East extend beyond Spica? And does not West extend beyond Andromeda? Oh, how far the Lord has removed our sins from us. And that's the power of the cross. That's the power of the cross. You know, sometimes we'll repent of a sin and we'll ask God for forgiveness. But then we store that sin in some corner of our mind. We put it on a shelf somewhere in our memory. And every now and then we'll pull it out and dust it off and remind ourselves of that sin. But God doesn't do that. Neither should we. God removes those sins and sends them off to another galaxy. And if He does that, then we can remove them from the shelf of our memory and forget about them. As far as the East is from the West, as far as Spica is from Andromeda, and even farther, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Then another beautiful facet of the diamond of God's forgiveness. The Lord has compassion on us. Compassion. Imagine that. Verses 13 and 14. As the Father has compassion on His children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed, and He remembers that we are dust. The Hebrew word translated compassion carries the idea of helping. As a father has compassion on his children, a helping compassion, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. When Rhonda and I and our two children lived in Florida, our two children, Gabriel and Ruth, were small. And there was a tree in our front yard. And they both loved to climb the tree. Gabe was the taller one, the older and therefore the taller one. And so he could jump up and grab that lower branch and pull himself up into the tree, and then up he would go from there. But Ruthie couldn't reach that lower branch. She was small. She was younger. And she could jump it, but she could not reach that lower branch. As a father has compassion on his children, I would take Ruth by her waist and gently lift her up to that lower branch. I would give her a boost. That's what our Heavenly Father does. Where in your life do you need to climb higher with God this day? But you're too small to reach that branch to pull yourself up. Our Father has compassion on you. He'll take you gently, give you a boost, so that you can climb higher with Him. That's the kind of God He is. He knows that we're formed. He remembers that we are but dust. He knows we cannot obey Him on our own. He knows that we cannot live rightly apart from Him, because He's the one who made us, and He knows that we are just dust. In Genesis chapter 2, God forms man from what? The dust of the earth. Go back in our genealogy all the way, and we find that we are formed from the dust of the earth. And God knows this. He's the one who made us. And He knows what we're made of. Each and every one of us He remembers his act of creation. And he remembers that we're just dust. You know, come to think of it, we ought to just nickname each other Dusty. Hey, Dusty, how you doing? Doing all right, Dusty. How about you? Just dust. We get so easily blown away by trials and by the sins in our life. And God understands that. And he knows that we're just dust. And that we can't live right apart from him. And that's why he has compassion on us. And gives us that boost so that we can climb higher with him. And then another facet of God's forgiveness. He loves us with an everlasting love. He forgives us time and time again. He forgives us because his love for us is everlasting. Let's take a look at verses 15 and 16 first. The next two verses will speak about God in comparison with us, but first of all, let's look at ourselves. As for man, as for people, as for human beings, as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, and the wind blows over it, and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. David here is speaking about the sirocco. The sirocco is a hot, dry, furnace-like wind that blows off from the Judean desert toward Jerusalem. And when that wind leaves the desert place and enters into the grasslands, it is so hot and so dry that it literally sucks the moisture right out of the grass, sucks the moisture right out of the flowers, and whoosh, down the grass goes, down the flower wilts. The wind blows over it. That hot, dry sirocco sucks its moisture out and is gone. And its place remembers it no more. That's how it is with us. We're like grass, like the flower and the sirocco of death. In fact, come to think of it, the wind of time is beginning to blow away some of my grass. But what about the Lord? Oh, so very different with the Lord. Although our time is short, the Lord's love is everlasting. Verses 17 and 18. But, contrasting God with people, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. Here's the point. When we compare 15 and 16 with 17 and 18, here's the point. We can never run out of God's love because his love outlasts our lives. The love of the Lord outlasts the length of our life. So we can never run out of God's love. We can run out of money. We can run out of time. We can run out of gas. We can run out of patience. We can run out of energy. We can run out of ideas. But we can never run out of God's love. Because his love outlasts our lives. And in such everlasting love, he forgives. And so as David surveys the field of diamonds of all God's benefits for which God is worthy of praise, David singles out one diamond, the diamond of God's forgiveness. And he picks it up and he turns it over in his hand so that each facet of the diamond of God's forgiveness shines with its own brilliance. The facet of God's slowness to anger. And he doesn't hold grudges. And he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. And he removes our sins far from us, as far as Spica, from Andromeda, and even farther. And he has compassion on us as a father does his children. He knows we're just dusty. And he loves us with an everlasting love. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Well, how do we experience God's forgiveness? How does God's forgiveness come into our life? We need to confess our sin. That's implicit in the psalm. The psalm doesn't say it outright, but it's implicit in the psalm, the confession of sin. We see that in a number of verses sprinkled throughout the psalm. The Lord forgives all your sins. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. As far as the east is from the west, Spica from Andromeda, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. This is an acknowledgement that we have sins that need to be forgiven. Transgressions that need to be removed. And so confession entails repentance. That's why it was after his repentance from adultery that David wrote this psalm with praise to the Lord. His heart was no longer weighed down by his sin. And then just as in repentance we turn from sin, so in faith we turn to Christ. If Christ is here and our sin is there, then when we turn from our sin, we turn to our Christ. Verses 17 and 18, we see it again underneath the text. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant, remember to obey his precepts. The Lord's love is with those who fear him, with those who keep his covenant. In other words, God's love, God's forgiveness is with those who have a right relationship with him. And we enter into a right relationship with God. We enter into fearing God. We enter into his covenant when we come to Christ, when we turn to Christ. Because it's the cross that reconciles us with God. As we read in 1 Peter, he, Christ himself, bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And by his wounds, you've been healed. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. I think we've just discovered that miracle cleanser. The blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. So that the diamond of forgiveness is in the hand of our heart. So we turn from sin and we turn to Christ. And when we turn from sin and turn to Christ, then we receive the full forgiveness of a God who's slow to anger, who doesn't hold grudges, who doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, but who removes our sins from us. And who has compassion on us and loves us with an everlasting love. Wow. How can we not praise him? Incredible. Unbelievable. But yet, we believe. David gives us one final appeal in the psalm. As if the praise of every person and every congregation of the Lord gathered together this Sunday morning is not enough. Let's summon all creation to praise the Lord. Verses 19 through 22. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Let heaven and earth join us in praise. For the Lord who forgives all our sins is the Lord who reigns over all creation, and at his bidding, angels speed. He is worthy of all praise. And so let's praise the Lord for all his benefits. Let's arouse ourselves to praise as we gaze on the diamond facets of our forgiveness in Christ. And then let's summon all creation to join us in a crescendo of praise. Let all creation praise the Lord Jesus Christ. For his shed blood is the one and only miracle cleanser that can wash away our sin. Oh, praise the Lord, oh my soul.
In response, let's stand and let's sing to him and let's sing praises unto him.
Oh Lord, we do love you. We love you so much. Because your love for us outlasts our lives. So we pour out our praise because it's your breath, the breath of your Holy Spirit in our lungs, with which we praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.